Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGavinow, and welcome to episode 93 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. Do you want to be able to step away from your business and have it run successfully without you? In this interview, my guest reveals the steps he took to systematize and automate his company's daily operations, which enabled him to spend 18 months away from his business while the business continued to grow and thrive without his involvement. You will also discover how he found out about the balance scorecard system, how he applied it to his business, and how he uses a unique mentorship program for the onboarding of his new employees. And now, let's get started with the interview. Hi, my guest today is David Braun, and he's the CEO and co-founder of Template Monster. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and hello to all of our listeners.
Awesome. So this show is all about getting entrepreneurs like yourself who have successfully systematized your business. In your case, your business runs successfully without you having to be there. And we want to share, you know, the journey of how you were able to make this happen. So let's jump right in. You know, what are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of going through the process of systematizing and automating your business?
Well, that's a good question, and I must confirm that I'm probably one of many people, you know, who can tell that I was away for 18 months in a row, and the business didn't go down completely, you know, it actually, you know, went up, because I was happy to enjoy the system that I was working on to build, to make the business work completely autonomously.
That's awesome. And just so it sounds like the maybe the mic is rubbing on your shirt. So if you can hold it so it doesn't rub on your shirt. But we're good. I like what you just said. You said 18 months in a row, you went having to be in the business and it didn't shut down. And we're going to talk about why that was the case later on in the interview. But I'm wondering, how has your company been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Well, that wasn't happened just, you know, within a couple of months or days. You know, like it took about 2 or 3 years to actually make it happen. But the final result, I think it's really, you know, we got a really great result because we were successful in building the company as an ecosystem. So it is, I think that it lives on its own, even, you know, with or without me. It automatically responds to constantly changing, you know, requirements for the by the market or, you know, by regulations or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is this should be a final goal for any other, you know, business owner or the manager to build the business the way that it doesn't suffer from your, you know, in existence.
So basically, you say it now it physically automatically responds to marketing demands and reshapes itself to fit the need. You had an example that you gave us during the pre-interview to reflect this.
For example, you know, like we did not have before, we did not have a customer happiness representative whose goal is to, you know, like to take care about the customers, you know, and make them happy. But at the same time, we got quite a lot of services and departments to talking to the customers. It's like pre-sales department, you know, sales department, tech support, and so on. And everybody was serving the customers, but in their own, you know, unique way. And then we started to increase our production policy and release new products all the time. Mm-hmm. So the guys made, you know, a meeting, you know, all the guys, all department managers, you know, who deal with customers and decided on their own to implement a new role, customer happiness representative.
Yeah.
So they created this role, you know, set the KPIs for this role, you know, defined the budget and hired the person, you know, without even asking me.
And just so the listener know what KPI is, just because what is KPI?
Yeah, it's a key performance indicator. So basically, for every job or every new position that we implement, you know, or introduce within the company, first thing that we do is how do we measure that this person works effectively or not?
That's awesome. So how has your personal life been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Yeah, I would be a liar if I'd say that I did it strictly for business. You know, I have four kids, you know, and I was working full time, you know, for 5-6 years. You know, usually it is 12 hours a day, mm-hmm. and my kids were growing. I didn't see them, you know, except on Sundays, like, you know, Sunday Papa, you mm-hmm. know, and I even insisted that my wife builds a private Twitter for me, you know, just to keep me updated about the kids, you know, what's new and so on. And that was insane, you know. Yeah. And after, you know, we implemented the system. Everything is fine now. I'm a good father. My wife is happy, and we go in for vacation 4 times a year.
That's awesome. So, since you have systems in place in the business that allows it to run without you successfully, what's the longest time you've been away from the business? I think during the pre-interview you mentioned 18 months, and you also mentioned it just now that 18 months, but we didn't talk about the reason why, because I think it's also important why you had to be away from the business for 18 months.
That was a forceful, you know, reason. I'm originally from Georgia, and I mean, I was a refugee myself, and then, you know, I moved before moving to US. I was in Ukraine. We mm-hmm. have a large office in Ukraine, and as you probably heard, in Ukraine about 2 years ago, Russia invaded, and basically there is a war started there.
Yeah,
and because the business could be really, really like hugely affected, and also like because all my friends and relatives were there, so I've decided to come back and basically to support the country, mm-hmm. and we build the most successful volunteer platform, like a crowdfunding platform where we could raise money for supporting, you know, wounded soldiers, you know, civilians.
How much did you raise? I was wondering.
And we raised over $10 million, you know, within a year, and, you know, became one of the most successful platforms, you know, in the country.
Awesome.
And so this is, I didn't even check during that time. I was so busy and so focused on those things. I didn't even check my business email at all. So I forwarded it to, you know, one of my associates, and we basically, you know, I had a real fear that, you know, the business would suffer a lot, but, you know, it turned out it's not.
Wow. So, I mean, now the listener is excited and wanted to learn more about your business. So let's talk about what exactly does your company do and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
We sell website templates for every popular platform out there, and basically doesn't say anything to you about for a small, medium-sized website owner, that means that you could visit templatemonster.com, mm-hmm. pick a template, basically the design for your future website for your niche, like the restaurant or, you know, travel agency or, I don't know, repair shop whatsoever, and buy it out for very cheaply, you know, like $60-$65. And for less than $100, basically, you get a professional looking website up and running within a days. Maybe even in one day, you know, if you are really in a rush or get some, you know, little skills. We also have like 24/7 support team, you know, supporting your needs and explaining how to do things properly. And I think that's the main key to our success.
So how many full-time employees do you guys have?
Well, we have more than 410,
wow.
You know, employees. We don't call them employees because we work internationally, so they are full-time contractors.
So they're basically remote staff working remotely,
exactly.
Right? Okay, great. I mean, these days you probably have most companies have to go remote eventually, anyways. So, is your company profitable? What was last year's annual revenue? And what did you probably expect to do this year?
Last year's revenue was around $15 million.
Wow.
And it's profitable. And although maybe later on I will tell it was not profitable all the time, you know, because of market changes. But anyway, now everything is good. And we expect about 30 to 35% growth rate this year.
That is awesome. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, the successes and what you're experiencing right now as a result of systematizing and automating the business. But honestly, it wasn't always like this. So take us back to when the business was not systematized and automated like it is now. What was wrong with it?
Everything was wrong, to be honest. But, you know, the main thing, like, you cannot focus on any strategic thing at all,
wow.
because you you are super busy on solving operational questions, mm-hmm. like especially having the fact that our teams are distributed all over the world in different time zones, you know, and we didn't. So we have people who work for us for 10 years and we never saw them in person, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes it's really, really tough to manage those cultural things, you know, plus, you know, the standards things, because we are working in high tech industry and things are changing all the time. And for me, it was like every single day I come up to my, you know, workplace and I solve somebody else's problems. Initially, my first idea was that I'm doing something wrong in terms of management and managing people. You know, I've been past a couple of trainings and, you know, I've realized it's not because of my management skills, but it's because the business structure is not set up a proper way.
Yeah. You also mentioned something about, you know, whether it was hiring and also that you couldn't also focus on, not like some of the strategic things you couldn't focus on, like marketing or the product and stuff like that.
Exactly. You know, like the old businesses, first of all, depend on revenues and profits, right?
Yeah,
so
if you
don't have money, you can't really do anything. So, and instead of, you know, because my profession is online marketer, you know, like I was the strongest marketing guy in the company. And basically, instead of, you know, doing the proper marketing, I had to deal with all those hiring and firing people, you know, and setting up those KPIs and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really distracting your core, you know, specialties. And then, you know, like at the end of the day, you will get issues with that.
So, you know, you mentioned something about a low point back when the business was not systematized. So what was it? Something to do with Adobe Flash technology? I'm curious. What was that?
Yeah, basically, before 2007, 70% of our business was related to Adobe Flash technologies. You probably remember those mm-hmm. animated
Flash websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, Flash websites, right? And then, you know, in 2007, Steve Jobs wrote an open letter saying that Flash should die. And basically, you know, like it was, you know, unexpected for everybody, but for us in particular, in 6 months, Flash-related business died out, and it was 70% of our revenue, so we saw an immediate impact. So we had a very, very hard decision to make. We decided to, instead of, you know, firing the Flash guys and hiring new HTML guys,
mm-hmm.
we decided to retrain the team because we were, you know, spent so much time and energy actually to build the team.
Yeah.
And basically, but it was not profitable. So we used our, you know, previous profits from last year, from previous years, and financed this transition period, which was, you know, over a year, but it really helped. So we retained the team.
Okay. So you also mentioned that, okay, this was kind of, you know, you had to retrain the team. So there's something happened out of your control in the market. And so you had to retrain the team to kind of meet the new demands of what the product would be. So you retrain the team. So I was wondering, what was the first step you now took when it came to actually systematizing the business?
Well, this Flash thing, you know, it gave us, you know, a very tough lesson, you know, to learn
yeah.
that if you don't have a system in place which allows you to make quick changes and not just out of the air, you know, like some decisions. So it has okay. to be.
And I was wondering too. I'm glad you're mentioning this now, because I was wondering how this was related to systems. So I'm glad you're answering that now.
Yeah, because, you know, like if we would have the system where we actualize all the marketing trends, you know, and the information about the competition and competitors in one place, and mm-hmm. then we have like the guys to analyze this information, because what I've learned hard way, there is a big difference between data and information.
How so?
Because everybody is calling information, but it's in fact, it's data. Data, it's a raw, you know, raw piece of information that you get from everywhere, and mm-hmm. it doesn't give you any basis for making right decisions. Information yeah. is the data which you analyze and then you transform it into things that are badly needed for making, you know, proper decisions. So my vote is actually, and the biggest challenge was, how do you create the system which works with information, not with data? Because you could be overloaded with data very easily.
That's true. And so you said, what was the first step you now took to systematize the business back then?
Yeah, the first step was to actually to delegate two people from the company, and we send them to the courses for business analytics.
So oh, you send them to goal, take courses on business analytics, right? Okay.
Yeah. So the main goal for them was to come back with a different mindset and start drawing all business processes map for the company. It was very, very huge task. It was, you know, involving lots of stakeholders. But in fact, then you see on the paper or on the screen what exactly happens with your company inside, how exactly the decisions are being made, and what are the processes which are duplicated. We actually identified quite a lot of duplicated processes.
Okay. And so what was the very second step that you took to systematize the business?
So once we identified those duplicated functions and unnecessary and not optimized processes, so we started to actually cut them off. And so we got some free time by the same existing employees. So instead of growing, you know, the team and the expenses, of course, for managing the same amount of, you know, information and doing the same processes, we freed up a lot of resources and, you know, and put them into optimization process to optimize the business even more. For example, we had a very complicated after sales procedure. It involved five or six people and to verify the transaction, then, you know, like to kind of, if the customer was not satisfied, he had to claim, you know, to submit a special form. So special guy was treating these forms, and, you know, then it goes to billing and to financial officers and so on. At the end, the customer was waiting so long, and the satisfaction level, you can imagine, you know, went down completely.
Yeah.
So we decided to completely restructure the process, and now only one guy instead of six, you know, takes care of the whole process, and the customer satisfaction really increased five times.
That is awesome. And so were there other steps that you took to systematize the business that comes to mind?
Well, the main challenge for us was how do we interconnect all international offices because of the, you know, different locations and time zones and different languages. So the idea was that we need to implement the same, you know, management and informational standards to all offices, so we work as a, you know, unified body. But since we are IT guys, the first idea was to actually develop our own project management system.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we started to draw the estimates and, you know, and we saw how big it is, you know, so we decided that it will take too much resources to make it. So we looked at the market, you know, we found about 10 to 12 different solutions. And at the end of the day, we started to use Bitrix. It's a Russian-based system, which is like a great mix of Slack, corporate portal, social network, you know, corporate social network, VoIP solution, you know, like voice over IP, and customer relationship management, all in one. So basically, when every new employee or the old employee comes in, first things that he does, he logins into this portal, and all operations, all processes, all reports, everything is being served within the Bitrix system.
That's awesome. So, I mean, this sounds like a lot of things that you had to do then to systematize the business. And I'm wondering, because the listener might also be wondering, you know, how did you prioritize the order of steps to take? You know, how do you decide, you know, which systems or processes was important to create first and the next one, you know?
Yeah,
what was the reason?
That's a good question, because, you know, like when you start thinking about optimization, so many things come to your mind, so you can get easily, you know, get lost basically.
Yeah.
So we got a meeting of, you know, of the managers, and we started with the most problematic ones. So I was doing my minutes actually. I was writing down literally what I was doing every 5 minutes. The technology called a photo of the day. So you're not picturing it, but you're actually, you know, describing it. So by systematizing this, and then you see that the sales department, for example, it took 30% of my management time. So we started to think, okay, how do we consider, you know, how do we optimize the process? And basically, we found the ways to get rid of this, you know. So I freed up 30% of my time. And my advice to everybody who will start doing this, if you can't manage your or optimize your own time, then you probably will fail optimizing the business, you know, because, you know, everything starts, you know, with people. Then, you know, we started to think about some sort of a system, you know, to create a systematic approach. And we found the management concept called BSC, Balanced Scorecard System. It's a new management concept that, you know, where every single aspect of your company is being synchronized with your strategic goals for your company. So every, basically, in other words, every employee does things that should result in achieving your company's strategic results.
So basically saying that, you know, anybody doing work, they have to relate it to a specific strategic goal that the company has. And is that like having a metrics dashboard where everybody can see what's happening for the different department and see how it relates to the overall goal
exactly.
of the company?
And also people start asking themselves, what am I doing personally to actually put my own, you know, contribution
towards
to the strategic
goal.
Result that the company looks for?
Okay. You said something about in doing the pre-interview was cheap to implement. Talk about that.
Yeah, because for us, it was cheap to implement since all of the business processes were digitalized. Mm-hmm. When you have everything in digital form, so this is only the, you know, the process. How do you, you know, summarize those digits and put them into dashboard? I can imagine if somebody is running, you know, truly offline business, mm-hmm. it might take, you know, a while and some costs to actually digitalize the result. But once you have them digital, you can pack this up into different, you know, formats. For example, you can have it on your mobile, on iPad, or on a special website. So it becomes much, much easier to, you know, to actually work with this data.
Okay, so back then, how exactly did you document procedures and processes for the business? You know, what tools did you even use?
Yeah, some, you know, Fortune 500 companies using very, you know, expensive tools specifically made for that. But because we were, you know, small comparing to them. So we use simple tools available for everybody, like Google Docs with the collaborative function where everybody can comment, you know, and put his own contribution. Google Spreadsheets to put formulas, you know, and diagrams. And there is a Google drawing tool where you can draw org charts, schemes, and, you know, business process maps. Also, Google allows you to collaborate, especially, so we bought the corporate Google accounts for security purposes. But, you know, at the same time, so we have everybody in the company, despite the fact where is their current location or what is their time zone, mm-hmm. could bring their thoughts and ideas into the same documents. And I think that basically it resulted in creating over 300 different documents, which at the end of the day, you consolidate into a single one, mm-hmm. which has table of contents and hyperlinks to different sections. So you open a single master document and easily navigate through it.
And at the time when you were working on, you know, systematizing and automating the business, I was wondering what books or even mentors had the most influence on you and why?
The biggest influence, I think, was first a consultant who we involved because, you know, he told us about the balanced scorecard system. The balanced scorecard by Robert Kaplan
yeah.
is the guy who actually created this balanced scorecard system. And I think this should be a Bible for everybody who wants to systematize their business.
That's awesome. So the consultant introduced you to the book, and then you guys implemented the framework that was outlined in the book.
Yes, exactly.
So I mean, if we only talk about, you know, successes that you had and what you did, but don't talk about the actual challenges that you experienced, we don't paint a full picture. So what was the biggest challenge that you experienced when you initially tried to systematize the business, and how did you solve it?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, the biggest issue when you start making changes is actually that this change idea comes to your mind, but it's, you know, the people around you don't even think about it. So basically, your mindset is being changed, but there is not. So basically, you are... If you compare it, so it's basically like you are on different floors. You are staying, for example, on fifth floor, and they are working on second floor. If you want So the first task should be to put everybody on the same floor.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's on the same floor, and they should understand why you want everybody to go to the upper floor, you could motivate them by telling that the company's performance should increase dramatically, which would, you know, affect positively their own incomes, you know, and the stability of the business. So we basically were working in one-to-one interviews and some meetings together and lots of Skype meetings to synchronize the mindsets. The second idea was to actually to find those agents of change, you know, people who really committed to make a change. And this is not an easy task, I must say. There are some costly, you know, trainers and consultants, and we even asked for some quotes, but it was like, it costs lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided then to grow people from inside.
Okay.
And for this, we used a DISC technology. It's a DISK as an abbreviation for, it's a psychology testing approach, which allows you to identify the strengths and weaknesses of different
people. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, we identified people who have strong management and leadership skills and gave them this book, you know, made a couple of outdoor, you know, consulting sessions with this consulting and together, like strategic sessions. And we basically grew up about five people. And those five people became our ambassadors to spread the change tune, you know, within the company. It really, really, really helped us, you know, during that time. And basically, once you have first five people, they convert the, you know, next 10 people. So basically, after you have 15, 20 people, it goes automatically after that.
That's awesome. I'm wondering, what was the second biggest challenge that you also experienced? I'm just wondering.
Well, the second biggest challenge was, how do you actually manage to put your time into those managing this change, because it's still, you know, anything that you think of requires some time. And since 90% of my time was daily operations, which you can't just drop because,
yeah,
you know, like, you are heavily involved. So finding this time to work on systems, you know, was one of the biggest challenges. So it requires, so what we did, you know, we decided to cut down to dedicate a special time slot. So, for example, I basically decided myself to dedicate 3 hours every single day for, you know, to systematize the business. So no one could call. I turned off, you know, my phone, my email, and only work on systematizing. This works. You know, you should dedicate a separate resource for that. Otherwise, you fail.
That's awesome. Okay, so were there any other challenges that came to mind of what you experienced back then that you want to share? Okay.
That was a technical challenge as well, because, you know, the information that you need to build a system, they are located, in fact, even if they are in digital form, they are still, you know, sitting in different other systems or subsystems. So you need lots of things that we had to calculate manually. So, for example, you get some traffic information from Google Analytics, you know, some sales information from the manager's report. So we did not have any centralized system of data, and we were hardly thinking about it. And then we found this, you know, miracle hacker guy who knows Google spreadsheets, you know, as a, I don't know, like, my idea is like, he created Google spreadsheet, because like he could say, he could make such amazing things. So he basically said, hey guys, you know, I see how much time you are, you know, spending, you know, on those information. So he created so-called collective tables, and basically those collective tables are automating all the processes connected to that. So so he created those aggregated dashboards for every single task that we had. Without this guy, I'm not sure if we would have this conversation today with you.
That's awesome. And so, given all the challenges that you experienced, you know, earlier, I'm wondering, why did you even stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
Well, I don't think that there is any other choice for any kind of business. To a certain point, when you grow up, you know, you have a really, really tough choice whether you would get a divorce with your wife, you know, or stay away with the family. And lots of my business friends actually have this situation. Then you miss out strategic thinking time. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, the business goes down and you basically you could be broken, you know, on two fronts, you know, on family front and on the business front. So that's why, you know, I think basically there is it's inevitable. You know, if you want to run the business, you know, in the long term, you have to do it.
You mentioned something during the pre-interview. I like say you don't need an IQ of 200 to know what's going to happen in the future with our systems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you know you see people around you, and you know, and you can do even. I mean, I'm bad at forecasting. You know, I play some stocks, and I'm very bad at playing stocks. So that's why I'm bad at forecasting. But you know, for this kind of things, you know, you don't have to be predictor. You know exactly. Exactly what would happen if you don't do it.
So let's come to a more recent time in the story that we've been sharing so far. So at what point in time were you able to systematize the entire business and have it run without you successfully?
Well, this is a continuous improvement process. Mm-hmm. But the wireframe, which means that probably 80% of it's done, was done in 6 months. The consultant that we used, he told us that was the fastest integration that he ever saw. And it was in 2013 when it was done. So I think one of the main key reasons why we did it so fast was, first of all, personal commitment, motivation. Yeah. And secondly, because we had the digital, you know, digital data available.
Awesome. And so what are the different, now that we're talking about currently, how your business run, I'm wondering, what are the different parts of the business and what specific parts you systems you have in each part. So let me make that question more concrete. So imagine somebody is looking to buy a template that you guys probably sell on one end, and on the other end, that same person has bought it and is raving about you guys, telling the world that, hey, Template Monster is the place to buy a template. But I want to kind of give the listeners behind the scenes of all that's happening to make that transformation happen. And you can even start from even how you even find these people in the first place.
Well, we basically our business, and I think the main know-how for our business is we looked into web design agency work and the business processes as a factory. So we decided there are so many agencies around, but they cannot scale 100 times, for example, right? So, so we decided, how do we make it? So we decided. So the whole nature of our business was actually to put. To research hardly and heavily in the design business processes. For example, when we create the template, first we create the design concept. The designer creates the concept from the concept. The senior designer creates the design, so the main look and feel. Then the junior designer creates all the necessary subpages for this design. Mm-hmm. Step four, it goes to coding and people doing the HTML and integration with all necessary plugins and components and elements. Then on next step, it goes for the testing, and people test it out in different browsers to make sure that it works correctly. On the next step, someone does the packaging of the template. So it's zipping up in a special, format. It's uploading to the site and checks the live demonstration that everything is working, When someone buys the template, then the sales guy validates the purchase. And after that, if a customer has questions, another guy provides the support. And if customer doesn't like the product, the customer happiness guy, this new guy who was automatically, came mm-hmm. to the team, he ensures that the customer is happy. And then, we have lots of webmaster and search and marketing guys who are doing the promotion, and presentation and preparation.
Yeah.
So basically, I didn't even think about in these terms before we drew up the business process map for the company. And then once you have this in picture, it's like a high level plan. How do you run your business? And you have a unique opportunity to take a look in your business where you are part of it, for many years as a third party, basically from top. You see,
yeah.
And you understand what's wrong and what's right.
I totally like that. So now, what systems? have you set them in place to enable your employees to know what they need to do exactly?
Yeah, basically, we started to think, you know, how to make it the most effective way, mm-hmm. and we decided that it starts with the mentorship. So whenever the new guy comes in, so we don't look at skills. So the mentor basically knows.
I like that.
The mentor, he has experience in our system, so he does the introduction, and within 1 week, he has a goal to prepare the new hire to pass the exam. So if there is no exam passed, the mentor gets punished, and the guy goes out.
Let me interrupt you real quick. Why I even like that is that the fact that, you know, if the system is based on mentoring people, it means you can literally get anybody who has a desire to learn, who's probably even still newbie, and groom them to how you want the employee
exactly.
to be.
For example, we have people, designers, mm-hmm. who are receiving international design awards, who 5 years ago, they didn't know even nothing about design. So everything that they know, they got from inside the company.
Wow, I love that. So, I mean, but granted, you have to have that mentorship part in place. Otherwise, you won't be able to just bring in someone off the scratch to come in if that mentorship program was not already in place for them to go through.
Yeah, exactly. So it was not, you know, coming from out of nowhere. But you know, when we faced the huge challenge that there are not too many people around, you know, available for immediate hire with all necessary skills. So we decided, okay, we have only two choices. Number one, to kind of rebuy people, you know, like pay them much more than mm-hmm. on the market so they come to you fastly, or to grow people. And growing people, initially, we really sucked, you know, in this field, you know, like we didn't really do it properly. And then, you know, I started to actually watch a friend of mine, he owns the kindergarten. And, you know, like he was telling me how they basically, you know, work with kids. So kids, at the end of the day, you know, the kids know how to behave properly, you know, how to do little things, you know, handmade stuff. So I think why should it be different from, you know, from basically preparing the skilled stuff? It's no different. It's just different, you know, different ideas, maybe less time because people are adult. So if they really have a motivation to learn, they would do it, right? So you just need to give them right information in the right place in the right time.
So going back to you, so after the mentorship program, you said within 1 week, this was during the pre-interview, you said within 1 week, they also have to do an exam. So talk about, continue from there. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. I was just so excited about the mentorship program.
The first week exam, the primary goal for this exam is to validate our pre-interview process. So basically the mentor decides if we should take this student or not. Mm-hmm. So if he passes the exam, that means that the mentor has a skill to successfully select right candidates. Then it goes to the level two. The level two exam should be passed within 2 months. During these two months, the mentor works with him, teaches him specific skills. For example, for designers, those are Photoshop, you know, the color theory, you know, the composition and so on. And after 2 months of, you know, those probation, he should pass the exam. Once he passes that, he gets promoted. And we have like internal, you know, gamification system. People really love it. So he gets
a badge, right?
Yeah, you get a badge. You get a badge. For example, you did something beyond your, you know, daily routines and helped somebody because he asked it. This person can send you a special thank you badge. Mm-hmm. And once you collect 5 thank you badges in a row, the company gives you a special prize.
That's awesome. And so you also mentioned something about how everybody, once the person has gone through the training, mentorship, and gone through the two exams, gotten badges, they also get something, they become a veteran where they get like a KPI table. Talk about that.
Yes. So once he passes the 2 months exam and, you know, he's basically a good guy, you know, like that who knows what to do and we want him in the team and he wants to work with us. Mm-hmm. He becomes a veteran. So he gets a specifically made for him the KPI table where he sees in a real time in a dashboard what kind of, you know, metrics, how do
you're
we
tracking
measure
him by. Okay.
Yeah. How do we measure his effectiveness? and he sees next day, for example, he does like an extra mile, and next day he sees an improvement. So he knows for sure that, you know, in the next paycheck, he would this improvement will be reflected.
So how do you track and verify the results being delivered? You already mentioned that at this stage where the person is a veteran now, they get a KPI table, a key performance table for their own specific role. But during the pre-interview, you also mentioned that there are three other levels beyond this. Talk about those three other levels.
Yes. So basically, this you know, person's KPI is the first level to kind of give the whole idea for this is actually to try to give to the person a real-time instruments to, you know, to influence his own productivity and his own paycheck.
Yeah.
The second level is actually the managerial level. So the manager sees the individual KPIs within his department and sees, you know, what's needed more, if needed, you know, to actually reach his own department's KPI. And then the guy on the topest level, he has like the company KPI, and he makes sure that individual KPI and department's KPI are in line. And so we are actually targeting and reaching out the, you know, the biggest KPI. And then all those KPIs are being validated by the financial department before it goes to, you know, financials for the paychecks.
That's awesome. And so since now that you have more free time, I'm wondering which areas in the business do you focus on now and why?
Yeah, I recently passed my MBA course, Master of Business Administration, because I wanted to refresh my management skills, you know, get some new insights and, mm-hmm. you know, and thoughts. And right now I'm working on the trends, because what I've realized, if you don't watch the trends, it's, remember, the flash situation, for example. So in just, you know, blink of an eye, you could lose the business or grow the business, you know, vice versa. So you just need all the platforms that we are making templates for, they are constantly changing. One gets more popular, another gets less popular. So without, you know, specific research all the time, we risk, you know, ending mm-hmm. up, you know, a broken company. Also, like the management learning course that I passed, it's actually giving you a special insights on the behavioral mechanism on your site. So basically, I kind of, you know, try to look, because internet business gives you a lot of metrics, right?
How yeah, from your website and
stuff
like that.
Or the people, you know, where they come from and so on. So basically, I'm trying to make an automated selling machine. So what we did within the company, so I want to do the same with sales and marketing for,
okay.
you know, so I want the website to sell in the best way to every single customer.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so what is the next stage of growth for your business? What do you plan to achieve next and why?
Well, our business during this 13 years, it was transactional. So people come and buy one template, make the website, and they probably never come back. Or they come back in 7 years, you know, when they need to refresh the design and so on. So it's since customer acquisition costs are doubling every year. So there is no other way whether to start building, switching from transactional marketing into relationship marketing. So you retain the constant relationship with your customers, and you're basically trying to make a recurrent revenue. So I'm trying to find out the best way how to transform our business into recurrent business model. Imagine, you know, we served over 1.5 million customers during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if everybody would pay us $1 a month, for example, right? It would
yeah.
be much better business model, because you don't have to focus on bringing new people to the board. Basically, you focus on serving existing people, and that makes you happy.
That's awesome. So if you're trying to like summarize, you know, what's, you know, key points you've actually discussed so far today, so that the listener can, you know, actually transform their business so they runs without them, you know, just real quick as we come to the close to the of the interview, just
okay.
summarize it for the listener.
I would start immediately with drawing the business process map. You could just Google how it looks like, and I think on a personal level you can do it for yourself. Just try to you know, set up and draw the business process map for your personal you know, daily life. And then, you know, for 3 weeks in a row, I would write down every single thing that I'm doing, you know, and then I group it into different categories, and then I would immediately, you know, you would see, I'm sure, you know, that you can optimize your workflow at least by 25%. Once you optimize your own time, as I said, use this freed up time to optimize your business the same way.
So is this what you've summarized now, kind of like the very next step the listener should take to get started with systematizing their business?
Yes. This is going to be the first step. And if you have employees, you probably have managers. Mm-hmm. So you should teach the managers to, or not even teach, you should give them, you know, a straightforward task to do the personal workflow optimization for themselves. So they free up 25% of their time. And then everybody who freed up their time should work to optimize and the business process within their organizations. So basically, you inject an optimization virus into the company.
So I can see how that could work from you, the owner, to then the execs, and then to the managers, and eventually even down to the employee side of things as well.
Yes.
Optimizing exactly. All the way. Yeah. So far we've asked a lot of questions, but I'm wondering, is there a question that you were wishing I would have asked you so far during this interview that for some reason or the other we missed and I didn't ask you? Go ahead and, you know, ask the question and the answer. Give the answer.
Well, yeah, one of the questions that probably, you know, sometimes people ask me, well, don't you feel that you might become a robot, you know, like so
like a robot, systematize, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You systematize everything and you become so less emotional? Absolutely not. You know, actually when you systematize the businesses, you also like basically see free spots with the time, and we spend it with, you know, enjoyment. We do a lots of, you know, beer parties inside the office because, you know, we freed up 20% of time, for example, so we could celebrate this, you know. And I think that, you know, it shouldn't be a fear for any person who wants to optimize the business.
Yeah. And so what is the best way for the listener to connect with you, and thank you for doing the interview?
Thank you for, first of all, thank you for very interesting questions. The best way to connect me is actually to visit my Facebook, David Braun, and I'm very actively in LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is my
LinkedIn. Favorite. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. In LinkedIn, I have a mobile application and I'm responding all the time because I'm super connected person, you know, like I have over 7,000 connections. And also don't forget to visit templatemonster.com. My email address is david@templatemonster.com. Feel free to email me and I'll be happy to reply with any advice, idea or whatsoever.
That's awesome. So now I'm speaking to you, the listener who've been listening all the way to this point. If you've enjoyed this interview like I enjoyed interviewing David, please go ahead and leave us hopefully a 5-star rating review, and also a positive review on iTunes. To do that, go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. And the reason why you want to leave us a review is because when you leave us a review, other people will, you know, check out the review and, you know, find value in the review and come and check out the podcast. So you help us attract more listeners. Also, if you're at that point in your business where you are personally tired of being the bottleneck and you want your employees to be able to know exactly step by step how it is that you do those repetitive tasks so that they can do it predictably without you having to be there, well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. David, thanks for doing the interview.
Thank you very much, and I'll definitely go and leave a positive review on iTunes.
Oh, that would be awesome. And we're done.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.